Hello. Okay, we will call to order the regular meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors for Thursday, November 2nd, 2023. Join me for the flag salute, please.
Little cell phone feedback here, so you can.
Kill the phones. Leave them in your car. We don't take calls here. Could we have a roll call, please, Laura?
Director Fourcroy, Director Gatchell,
Here.
Director Womack,
Present.
Vice President Ohilski,
Present.
President Sesenia.
I'm here. Thank you. Okay, no general action items tonight. You couldn't find anything for us?
Now we're going to load you up in December.
Okay, we'll take that. Public comment for items not on the agenda. Agenda item three. We have
If you'd
one
like to
here
make a
in the
public comment.
boardroom.
And there is no public comment online.
Okay, thank you.
Now. Richard Margetson. Tonight, because your next meeting is 2 days before needs and wishes, I just wanted to remind everybody. This year is the 18th annual needs and wishes holiday fundraiser, December 9th, Community Center, 10 to 7. The silent auction ends at 6. Getting very good turnout, or I mean response as far as donations. We're up, I did a count today, and we're up for the gift certificate and restaurant certificate table. We're almost at 100 already. Yeah, so toy store, we're close to 300 toys collected so far. Silent auctions doing well. Only entertainment, we have entertainment. The only one I know for sure is booked for a time is the Taiko Drummers are at 2. I think the community choir is going to be after that. And we've got two other acts that we're just waiting to hear when it works in their schedule for the day. For those that have been there, there's toy store, bake sale, food, gift certificate table, silent auction, and raffle. Entertainment all day. The event is unique that there's no overhead for the event. Even the use of the community center is free of charge to us. So every penny raised goes to the two charities this year again, which it has been for a number of years. 40 Prado Homeless Service Center and the SLO NOR Clinic. And I want to just highlight a little something about the NOR Clinic donations they received. We found out at our awards dinner, prior to our awards dinner, that Needs and Wishes and the donations from them are first all-time highest donor to NOR Clinic, with the exception of grant funding, where they get a grant from the county or they get a grant from a city. In the private sector and organization sector, people helping people on needs and wishes is number one all time. We've raised a little over 171,000 for the NOR Clinic the last few years. They're part of the proceeds, which equates to, under their formula, where they believe for every dollar donated, they can provide $100 worth of medical care, because the doctors all donate their time and then they track that kind of stuff, is equivalent to over $17 million worth of medical care. We have covered Los Osos because they track it by cities and communities. We have covered Los Osos and other parts of the county. We're real proud of that. The buzzer is going to go off. Can I just have a few more seconds?
But tell us a little bit more about the NOR Clinic and what they do.
No. The NOR Clinic has a medical clinic in San Luis. They have an eye clinic. They have a dental clinic. They just opened a satellite clinic in Paso. In fact, you may have gotten that email. Did you get that email? Oh. Yeah, it was just within the last few weeks. They had three of limited schedule at this point, but when North started out, it was only one day a week, and now it's, you know, 6 days a week. Unbelievable organization. All the doctors donate their time. They get donations from drug companies for medications. When we were there last year to present the check in February, they took us through the clinic in San Luis, and they had a whole closet that they opened up, floor to ceiling medications that had been donated by pharmaceutical companies. So for those uninsured and underinsured, that's the place to go. And Los Osos, last year, they provided about $1.2 million worth of free medical care to residents of Los Osos. And our donation last year was just over $30,000. They got half of the proceeds, so we covered $3 million. So we definitely covered Los Osos. So wonderful event, no overhead. Can't find a better place to get more bang for your buck. So Chuck may have something else, but I think I've said this year after year. I think everybody's heard it numerous times, but hope to see you on December 9th. Thank you.
It is. It's a good synergy of a good cause, a good time, and a wonderful opportunity. If you want to stock your kitchen, the silent auction, ooh, always. You'll find good outings around town, just wonderful things donated from your local businesses and all of your friends. So thank you for that. So with that,
piggyback on that, please, for a second? So I just wanted to point out one thing that leads into the needs and wishes is the annual Christmas parade is that day. So the Christmas parade goes down Los Osos Valley Road from Fairchild to the Needs and Wishes sale. So that's on that December 9th morning. Just so you go to the parade, have all your fun times, go over there and buy everything you can as quick as you can, because it'll be sold out. So anyway, I just wanted to piggyback.
It's a good day. It's a full-on Los Osos day.
Exactly. So I have a question. Is there a theme to the parade this year? And what is it?
This is only a test.
Oh, I put you on the spot.
Not sure I brought it with me. Hold on. No, I did not bring it with me.
I'm okay. Sorry. I was just curious. What?
Dress in red and white, and you'll be appropriately themed. Yeah.
I'm sorry. We just had a meeting yesterday and determined that. So
that's a good question.
Well,
that's a good question.
Pops into your head later.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know. Yeah, that would be good. Okay, we'll move on to agenda item 4, administrative and committee reports, our fire department report. Wow, in person tonight. Yes, this is wonderful.
Could I say one other thing? I'm wearing sunglasses because I had my eyes just dilated and stuff, so I have to keep the light out of my eyes. I'm sorry, but so that's why I'm doing this.
We all know that you're a rock star.
Well, yeah, that too, yes.
Okay. Well, good evening. I took a little vacation and I came back and got penalized by the fire gods and had a busy week. So with the Lizzie fire and the Teresa fire and several other fires within the county, we've been fairly active. As far as the Los Osos Station 15 monthly incident summary, we ran 125 calls for the reporting period for the month of October. We had one structure fire, which was really a fence fire. We had a car fire and 11 debris type fires. Four vehicle accidents. We had one surf rescue out at Spooner's Cove, 89 medical aids, and four hazardous conditions calls, gas leaks, things like that, power lines down, other calls, and 11 public assists. Looking at our aid given and our aid received, we're still looking pretty balanced there for what's coming in and what's going out. So things are appropriately apportioned. With as busy as I've been, I wasn't able to get a written report to you guys in time. So I just kind of scribbled one out here on the back sheet of my statistical report. But I think probably the most triumphant thing that I have to announce for the first time, and I believe the last 4 to 6 months, we have all of our equipment in the apparatus room. We have our red engine, we have our white engine, we have our squad, we have our boat, we have our utility pickup trucks. So we have everything all in service for the first time in several months. So I'm very happy with that. Took some while to get through all the warranty processes and fighting with mechanics and dealing with shipping delays and auto union strikes to get a motor for our squad. But we got a new motor in our squad and ran us about $22,000. But hopefully we've extended the life. It was cheaper to replace the engine than it was to replace the vehicle. So hopefully we'll be able to keep that thing going in service and keep it going down the road. During the period, we hired 6 reserves. So we are now in process of onboarding 6 reserve firefighters with the intent that what we did was we hired everybody had at least EMT and at least a Firefighter 1 Academy certificate. And we'll be looking at doing about an 8-day academy, be probably 4 weekends of doing academies where we'll do area orientation here. We'll do some ALS integration training, get them used to the paramedics. We'll take them out to the burn tower. We'll do some burning in our drill tower, some auto extrication, some cliffside rescue. And so getting them ready to be in service and full members of the company. They're all from out of the area. They're all, most of them from San Luis Obispo County, which is good, but none of them are from Los Osos proper. Hopefully once I get them all ready to go and they're all trained up, we'll bring them here to introduce you to the community. So you guys can put names to the faces. Let's see. We did some hose testing this month, something that we tried for the first time. We brought in a third party, something that I used to do up in my former battalion. And they come in, they give us a good inventory of what we have. They give us a third party rating on all the hose. So when it does fail, it's actually failing. And it's not kind of like, well, it kind of passes, but not really. They give us an accurate rendition. And so when we do go to do our ISO rating, we'll have that proper paperwork. And when we do our replacement schedule for any hose or buy any hose, we have an accurate representation of what we have. We know what we have in reserves. We know what's on the trucks. We know how old it is, all that type of stuff. And it was all for the under $3,000, which if you do a risk analysis on what it takes to test hose, just the firefighters climbing up and down off the trucks, removing all that hose and having to load a bell back on. There's just that whole risk of jumping up and down off the truck. We put the risk on the third party's employees instead of our employees. As you know, we've had challenges with staffing and keeping everybody healthy. So we felt that this was the best way to keep everybody healthy and also have an accurate representation of where our host complement is for the district. We participated in auto extrication training with the local jurisdictions. We did our drill over in Morro Bay. We invited Morro Bay Fire to participate with us, but we had our Station 16, our Cambria Station 10, our Cayuga Station 11, Station 15, and Morro Bay all participated. We did over at Chuck's Towing over there in Morro Bay. We did 3 days of that. We cut 3 cars apart. And so it was just good to get everybody together and put our hands on the tools that we have. We all have different stuff, whether it's the county stuff, the district stuff, or Morro Bay stuff. We're able to just kind of show each other's what tools we have in our toolboxes. So this coming month is going to be ladders and ventilation. We'll be going out to the South County drill grounds where we'll be putting ladders up against the drill tower. I think you came out to one of our Fire Ops 101s and you came out to one of our Fire Ops 101s. So we'll be putting ladders up on that, and we'll be lighting fires we'll be moving smoke around in the towers. And we will also be going to our roof prop and using our chainsaws to cut into the roof and practice our techniques. So
yeah, I recommend it. That was great.
Yeah. And when we do the training for the reserve firefighters, then we will be burning out there, and I will invite you guys to come out and watch that if you're interested.
Yeah.
So you can see us in action. Some events we got coming up with, we participated in the Lisa Ann Roush burn relay, came through, started in the North County, worked its way down through the South County. We did it out at Monarch Grove Elementary. Successful Engine 15 participated with the squad, did a little show and tell over at the school, and then they moved on out to the next part of the county. This coming up on Veterans Day, we're escorting a Korean War veteran out to the memorial, and we'll be taking him out there on the fire engine and honoring him and the other veterans. And then that's what we have on the calendar for events right now. And then just talk real quick about the Teresa fire that we had yesterday over there off of Highway 1, South Bay, Teresa, 47 acres, started in the city of Morro Bay and then spread into the county and the SRA. Engine 15 was assisting on that. Morro Bay was the primary. Engine 15 was assisting. Cal Fire was assisting and County Fire was assisting. It's all contained. It's out. It's in patrol status. I think they had one smoke out there today that Morro Bay went out to. And then I'll just touch on the Lizzie fire. I ended up being the incident commander on the Lizzie fire, 124 acres. The cause and responsible have been contacted by law enforcement and taken into custody. The fire is out. It's 100% contained. That's also in patrol status. No structures were damaged or lost in that incident. So that's a positive. No civilian injuries, no deaths, nothing like that. So just a little burn scar on the side of the hill and just minor inconvenience for the neighbors, probably for at least till the first rain comes and washes all the soot away. End of report.
I'm glad we didn't have high winds to go along with the heat for the fires that we've been having. That's good. And training and equipment. It's hard to be prepared without them. Yep. And it's got to feel good to have all the equipment in the shop ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what started the fire in Morro Bay?
That one is under investigation still.
Okay.
Yep.
That's not out yet.
Not out yet.
Yeah. It looked like the shoulder of the freeway. Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah. It was right there. And that'll be Morro Bay. The city of Morro Bay will be putting that out it'll be their jurisdiction. They'll be ones to be announcing the cause of the fire.
And we look forward to the night that the reserves come in after their training. That's always a special night to see everybody get pinned and
Yeah,
that's good.
So I think we've been kind of peppering them, in and out. We haven't really had a true academy where we send them out to the San Luis Obispo County training grounds and go through with all the other San Luis Obispo County PCFs and reserves. That program, that academy doesn't really exist anymore. So we're having to do it ourselves. So we've been kind of doing in-house through COVID and all that. But now that we have actual group of them together, we should be able to do something a little more formal.
Good. Any other comments, questions? Okay, thank you.
All right, have a good night.
Okay, Sheriff's Department report. Wow, we have two in person tonight. Good.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the board, staff, members of the public. I'm Stuart MacDonald from the Sheriff's Coast Station here in Los Osos with a report for October's statistics. In October, we had six assault or battery calls. Those were all domestic violence related calls. We had 48 disturbances, 30 of which were general disturbances. There were six neighbor disputes, five family disputes, five barking dog calls, and two loud music calls. We had no burglaries in the community in October. We had two thefts. One was items taken from a driveway of a residence. The other was a theft of a purse from a vehicle. That call actually occurred in State Parks jurisdiction, and we helped them make that appropriate report to State Parks. We had five vandalisms. That included three vandalisms to vehicles, one graffiti vandalism, and one vandalism to school grounds at the Sunnyside school campus, which had a group of young people went through and basically threw the trash cans about and actually cut some support lines for some sunshade sales. So there was some damage, but it was up there at the Sunnyside campus. The written report that came through indicated three male thefts. However, that is not accurate. We didn't have any male thefts reported to us in the month of October. We did not have any phone scams reported to us. However, a couple of days ago, we did put out a press release because currently there are someone or someones that are spoofing the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Office telephone numbers and representing themselves as a deputy sheriff with a request to for money to take care of warrants or whatever the scam story is. And I just want to remind the public that the sheriff's office doesn't ask for money over the telephone ever. And so even if a phone number comes up that is truly associated with the sheriff's office, it can be spoofed. And you would never give money to someone calling representing themselves as the sheriff's office for any reason. If you have a warrant, you're more likely to get a knock on the door from a uniformed sheriff's deputy or a certified letter from the courts. And so any attempt to get money over the phone would generally be a fraudulent scam. We had 25 suspicious circumstance calls. That included 13 suspicious circumstances, 9 suspicious persons, and 3 suspicious vehicles. The deputies that work in your community conducted 56 enforcement stops in the month of October, 47 vehicle stops, 7 pedestrian stops, and 2 bicycle stops. And they engaged in 41 preventative patrol activities, is how I like to call them. There were 29 on-site activities, which means the deputies viewed something and stopped to take further action. 6 foot patrols, 3 extra patrols, and 3 patrol checks. And that concludes my report. I'm ready for any questions, should you have them.
Comments?
It was a few Saturdays ago. There was something going on 14th Street. Was that something you helped out with, or saw a lot of emergency vehicles going by?
I'm not recalling off the top of my head what that might have been. There was a fence fire over in that area a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, there was fire, but there's also, maybe that was it.
Law enforcement vehicles.
Yes.
We were there at that. There was a individual who was trying to put the fire out, but his involvement was actually interfering with the fire department's ability to get their work done. So we briefly detained that individual until the fire was out, and then we were able to release that person. No arrest or anything like that, but we did actually hold on to them for a few minutes so that the fire department could do their work.
Oh, thank you. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Bottom line is more barking dogs than burglaries. That's good.
Yes.
That's good.
Always is.
And the sophistication of the phone scams, I've had friends preyed upon, and they've been handed, this is the Morro Bay Police Department phone number. Call them if you want. And it is the Morro Bay Police Department's phone number.
It is. And if you call it back, you'll actually get the police department. But
they won't know. Yeah. What?
Yeah. Right. You know, the scams of all kinds, the email scams, the phone scams, the, you know, text message scams, they are all very sophisticated and very hard to detect. Generally speaking, if you get a notice from your bank, from your credit card, from whomever, my best advice is look up the numbers that you have on file for that organization and call them back.
Yep.
And never, never, never give any personal information or confirm personal information for someone who's reached out to you for that information.
If they're asking for money, it should be in writing through the mail, not email, not phone. Ignore all those.
Absolutely. And one other thing that I'll mention about scams is that they generally have some part of the story that creates a sense of urgency. So always take that step back and take a bigger picture rather than tunnel visioning and focusing on the urgency of, exactly. of what's occurring.
Right.
So
no, that's a part of the you can't talk to anybody. You cannot talk to anybody else. It's me and you. What, you know, and you can't bring in an outside source to talk about this. It's just part of the game. It sounds frivolous, but it's serious.
Yeah, the losses on a daily basis are huge across the country.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Okay.
AI phone scans now. Oh. So there's an AI and you can tell. People they can have a conversation with you. And there's new AI that can mask accents, foreign accents, to make it sound English speaking mm-hmm. as well. So mm-hmm. those are happening as well.
Yes.
Beware. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. And you have a good evening.
Thanks. Okay. Our California Highway Patrol report. Yes. That would be online, I assume.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you guys for having me this evening. I guess I'm feeling a little bit left out since both the Sheriff's Department and the Fire Department showed up. So thanks, guys. I will make sure to make it to the next one and be able to reconnect with all you guys again. Just to reiterate also what the Sheriff was just saying is that we are also being spoofed through the California Highway Patrol locally with these phone scams. We are actively working it and... so far, we're unable to determine who they are, but they are from out of the area. If you do get a call from us, just make sure to hang up and call us back. Don't provide any information unless you are calling us back and asking for identification. On that, we had four crashes out in the community in the month of October. The three of them were non-injury and one was a minor injury crash. The only interesting thing that I can give you guys on these is all these crashes, two of them happened on one day and two of them happened on the other. Two of them were on the 31st and two of them were on the 6th. So that is all I have for you, unless there's any questions for me.
Anything from the board? Okay. No, thank you.
All right. Thank you guys. And you have a good evening.
Great. Thanks. Utilities Department report.
I just have a few things I wanted to go over just real quick. It's not necessarily in the utilities report, but in our finance reports, our revenue is performing about even what we expected. If you recall last year, we fell way behind because of the rainy season. So with that coming up, we'll see what happens. Other than that, I just had a real quick a few things here. The 16th Street North Tank rehabilitation project is underway. From what I understand, they've been doing the sandblasting on the interior and you can barely hear it from the street. We've got a different contractor, different equipment. So we'll keep our fingers crossed when it moves outside that it's not as bad as last time. We did finish up our 10th Street transfer pump project back here. That took about 7 or 8 months to get the pump and motor because of supply chain things, but we're up and running. And finally, our water resiliency intertie project. Public comment period ended last Friday, October 27th. We're compiling the questions. There weren't that many that were relative to the document, the environmental side of it. A lot of operational questions, quite a few comments from citizens in Morro Bay, which... we won't necessarily respond to in this document. We know we have to respond to when we move the project forward. We did get some press. Tribune article has been out. Did get a call from KCBX for an interview this afternoon. Not sure when that's going to air. And I did attend the Morro Bay City Council meeting. Where are we at last week? And it was quite a ruckus. Anyway, so there's some public information we need to provide the citizens of Morro Bay so they don't understand we are not taking their water.
We're not out after your water.
And we will pay our fair share. Those are the two major issues. With that, I can answer any questions on the utilities department side.
Everything on the program C-Well is on schedule and...
Well, that's been a tough one. We changed, I think I've talked about, we've changed the way we're going to put pipeline in. We're, instead of trenching, we're doing horizontal directional drilling. So it's all going to be underground. So that delayed a little bit because we had to redo the plans, get approvals from the county on the encroachment permit changes, those types of things.
Okay.
But it's going to start, we're looking at maybe November 20th as a kickoff on that. The well equipping part, we've run into a little bit of a snag on timing. Our conditions from our environmental review say we can't work on during the rainy season. So that started November 1st, yesterday. But we'll see if we have some leeway there. That one is not as critical because we have a 50-week lead time for the electrical components. So it's we're trying to find a workaround on that. So anyway, everything's moving forward. It's just a few changes and obstacles that we're overcoming.
And let's hope that the 16th Street tank work is completed as anticipated December 18th before Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I ask you a quick question? I know this isn't under our jurisdiction, it's Golden State, but what is all that piping they're putting in on Los Osos Valley Road? Do you
know? Pipe replacement. So we would be doing a similar project only up at South Bay and Los Osos Valley Road in terms of trying to cross that intersection. That's why we're doing the horizontal directional boring.
So it's just pipe replacement.
It's pipe replacement.
Okay, thank you.
And then they've had to do some fire hydrant work associated with that, and then they'll have to do tie-ins. So there's going to be quite a bit more activity in that.
Thank you.
It's amazing how loud those iron plates, the metal plates are. That echoes around town. I hear it from my house.
Same
all
here.
The way down at Sweet Springs. Clank, 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 clank. Yeah, noise is quite a disruptor for public works projects. Okay, General Manager's report.
Just real quick, a few things here. Our standard of cover, fire and emergency services study is well underway. I'm very impressed with our consultant, and I wanted to thank Paul and CAL FIRE, Chief Province and CAL FIRE. They had to provide a lot of technical data, which they have done fairly quickly. We'll see a preliminary findings in mid-December, draft report mid-January, and we should see a final report late February. So that's going to come together quickly. So we're excited about that. I did want to report that I finally was able to complete all the needed information into the FEMA portal. So now it's still a series of back and forths on questions. Still no schedule on that, but at least we're in the system officially. We have some other follow-up work being done. Matthew and Chuck and I have talked about this. We're looking at a hydrology study that'll help inform us on a final project. And one of our consultants, EA and Associates, they're our geotechnical consultant, will have a report, a proposed project report by the end of November for us to be looking at. So there's still quite a bit of work to do up there. Just a report on the Integrated Waste Management Authority. The county decided to rejoin. They voted on the October 31st. There'd been some social media saying that it was going to cause our rates, our garbage rates, to go up. I want to say that's absolutely untrue. Will not impact our rates in any way, except possibly have the IWMA fee go down. IWMA would be looking at that, and we may see a little bit of a decrease in their fees next year. And finally, I wanted to recognize two of our employees. Both celebrated their four-year anniversaries with the district. One was Alicia Zuniga, our utility billing specialist, and the other one is Ian Good, water resource operator. So we appreciate their service.
Absolutely. And we appreciate you recognizing them again, always. Any comments or questions from the board? Okay, so we've got everything into FEMA. We might complete paperwork within the calendar year of the, and then maybe reimbursement.
We'll see.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. No, I won't. Chamber of Commerce, do we have a report?
A verbal report only.
Sure.
So We had one of our top two events of the year, Oktoberfest, which I saw some of you down there. It was a very, very successful event. The day was really beautiful. It was nice and warm. Things went really, really well. That with along with the vendors on the street, the entertainment, and the car show, those are the three aspects to it. So it was a very, very nice event, and one that we look forward to doing every year. We have upcoming the second Friday of December, which I believe is the 8th. We have our Christmas tree lighting, which is the corner of Palisades and Los Osos Valley Road. The entertainment starts at 5, and the tree lighting happens when it starts to get dark. Depending on the weather, that's normally about 6:15-ish. We'll have some appetizers. We'll take donations. We encourage people to bring any ornaments that they want to donate, and they can put them on the tree, and then they'll be going up on the tree every year after that. So that's what happens on that day. And then the following day is the parade, which I'm still waiting to hear back from somebody as to what the theme was. I haven't heard anybody back. The parade is the following day, starts at 10 o'clock at Fairchild, and ends at the Needs and Wishes event. So that was rained out last year. First time that's happened, almost one other time would happen. So we anticipate having, for example, Citizen of the Year, Business of the Year, Volunteer of the Year. We'll have 2 years worth of everybody in there. So we've got to make up for that. Christmas tree lighting we did have last year because it didn't rain until exactly when we stopped. That was there. So that's what we had happen last weekend, and that's what we're going to have happen in December.
Thank you.
That's why I probably shouldn't do verbal reports. It takes too long.
The Oktoberfest was a good event. That was the car show intentionally dialed back this year?
Yes.
Okay. I guess there weren't quite as many, but always a fun event. That was good. Thank you. Let's see, the Community Advisory Council, Christine.
So there are kind of two main discussions I thought were interesting, but more has happened since LOCAC. So they're having a discussion on the Anastasi project, and I think people in LOCAC expressed concerns over adding more stress to the water basin. And I think since then, the county actually approved it.
Tuesday.
They approved it.
I think Bruce did not, but that passed. And the other was Bruce was hosting a wind energy forum, which I thought would be interesting. I think that was either yesterday or today.
Last night.
Okay. So I hope it's recorded. It probably is, but I think they wanted to let the community know the discussions that were going on, and they had Laird speak on it, and Addis also had a part in it, as well as Bruce, and I haven't listened to it, but I suspect that'd be interesting and a good thing to go look up. So those were the main things.
Two big things.
Yes.
For both in the same week.
It's an interesting meeting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for that thorough report. Parks and Recreation, no report, did not meet. Utility Advisory Committee meeting, we met October 16th. Other than the usual update on projects, we talked about the mitigated negative declaration for the Intertie project and the Cabrillo Basin update. And anything else that you want to?
Just really the update on the BMC, which you'll cover, and
all kind of related. It's all kind of tied together. We'll update that. Finance committee.
So Lisa came back and she was pleased that she's not the only person on there approving everything. And I do want to express appreciation to our new committee members on finance. We approved the warrant register, recommended we receive and file the financial report, and a relatively new thing we're doing is receiving and filing the quarterly investment report, since we now have investments. And it was a good meeting.
Good. Thank you. Yeah. It's nice to have a full committee, isn't it? Just the energy of the people.
It is great.
Okay. Emergency services did not meet this month. Basin management committee. Ron, what do you have for us on that?
Well, the 2 hours of it was track 1646, the Anastasi project. Quite an interesting presentation by county staff and questions by the BMC and the public. Quite a bit of public comment. Discussed the 2024 budget, which also relates to one of the other changes the BMC is considering, actually opening a bank account and doing the finances completely different. Right now it's kind of pay as we go. You get an invoice for a project or a consultant fee, and then it goes through this kind of interesting payment process that takes sometimes months for vendors to get paid. So it'll be a great change. It'll be a bit of a transition for the BMC, but it's long overdue. And those were the highlights I had.
Okay. I guess the one thing I'd like to say in kind of a summation of the whole Anastasi development thing that's been dominating everything this week is that, in essence, what we did is add more vacant lots to the list of people waiting to develop in this town. There's no imminent development coming from that project. I don't think a lot can be sold until the infrastructure is in place. And that lot that is sold is going to be sold to someone that knows they're going to be waiting 10 years at least before they can develop. So there's a lot of unknowns around that. Let's not get too worked up about what it means in terms of immediate effect on anything. That's kind of my takeaway from that. I'm glad that the community showed up. I'm glad that we have interest. That's the one good thing about it, is that dialogue comes out of it. People talk. More people know about Basin Management Committee and that kind of thing. So it's good in that sense. But if I'm thinking about where else to practice my driving skills, driving range, you're not going to be having to go anywhere else for a while, golfers. So director's announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars. Anybody have anything that way? Well, then I will. Mr. Munns and I got to meet with Senator Laird today, this morning, and we had about a half an hour of his time. I think it might have gone a little bit over that. He was very warm and encouraging, and he's experienced with special districts and unincorporated areas. He works Santa Cruz County particularly, and a lot of Santa Cruz County is unincorporated. And so he knows the special challenges here. Basically, what we wanted to put in his ear was the needs regarding funding for the intertie, if we run that pipeline over to Highway 1. We have the fire station study coming up, and we may need some money to upgrade the fire station. The community center, the needs for an evacuation center for this town are tremendous. We know that. We found that out. And so that was a good plug. We got to talk to him. In fact, I wish I'd have thought to mention it, because he got his award last year at the community center from the Special Districts Association. So that's the building that we want to do all this with. And the main purpose there was just plant the seeds, start the dialogue. He gave us good feedback about how he would be able to help. We don't know this year. The state budget looks pretty tight and probably won't be a whole lot of individual earmarks and things available, but we have the dialogue going. And so that was wonderful. I really appreciated his time. His assistant was wonderful, took notes the whole time, very copious notes. That's always nice. So that was a good meeting. And I hope we'll be able to follow up with Salud and his office, maybe some federal contacts, because that community center project is a big one. And that's the sort of thing that maybe some federal help with grants would be appreciated. Response to previously asked questions. I think we try and keep up with those.
Yeah, none tonight.
Okay. So we'll go to public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda. Is there anything that needs to be pulled from the consent agenda? It looks pretty light tonight. Okay. With that, we'll go to public comment for agenda item number 5.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium. There is no public comment online.
Okay, and we have none here in the boardroom, so I will entertain a motion to approve.
Just a second, Chuck.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, yes, please. Oh, please. Come on up, tell us who you are, and absolutely. I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
No problem. Very nice meeting. You're covering a lot of details, but the main thing that I want to state that makes me scratch my head, I've been a contractor in California for 4.5 decades. And the thing I do not understand about Los Osos is I realize the water issues affecting California, and thank goodness in a way for last winter what happened. Maybe we'll get more rain this winter. But here's the mystery that maybe you people can answer for me. I bought a lot years ago on one of the streets off of Pine Avenue. And on that street, it is 90% occupied. In other words, on the whole street, there was only 2 vacant lots left. So I assumed that, maybe if I keep it a few years, I can push through a way to build a small house on the lot. Mission impossible, you know? And that is my question to the board. On streets that are 90% occupied, why don't you start some positive building thing here in Los Osos that you allow owners to build on a lot where it's 90% occupied on the street? You know, to me, it just makes sense. You know, it's more business for Los Osos, more business for contractors, and a street that's already almost totally occupied, one more house, I wouldn't think it would make that big of an impact. So that's my question. I'd written a letter in too, but I never got a reply.
Would you identify yourself?
My name is Douglas, last name Converse.
Douglas Converse.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we'll look for that letter.
Okay.
Did you address it to the Community Services District?
I think I did. I'm pretty sure I did. And I sent it, maybe a month, 2 months ago.
Okay.
Never got a reply. So just curious. And, maybe in time that question can be answered. Lots, streets 90% occupied. Let the 2 lots left build a house.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, sir. Very much.
About all I would say is that the county has a list of people waiting to build. And that's kind of how that priority is determined. It's not a matter of how many lots on the street are already developed. It's really a matter of how long you've been on that list. And that's why this recent subdivision caused so much controversy. People like you that have been waiting don't want to see others all of a sudden get bumped to the front. So that didn't happen. It's not going to happen. But in terms of where you're at in town, it's strictly determined by your place on the county's list of people waiting to build.
Just real quick, the county, the water department for the county, she mentioned to me, that's why I wrote the letter. She said, you should take this up with your socials and see what they say. That's why I'm here.
Okay.
We'll look for that letter.
We'll look for that letter. Sure. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Let's see. Motion. We're waiting for that motion.
You are?
Yes.
Okay. I'll move that we receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Oh, Matthew didn't get the second.
No. In favor, say aye.
We need aye.
I don't think so. There's no resolutions. No.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Any disapproval expressed? Okay. Unanimously carried. Future agenda items. Anything that we need to add to Ron's plate?
Well, I think that report that going through now regarding the fire service is going to be critical, because that's going to be coming in to its gestation soon, and that's going to determine a lot of things.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it.
Interestingly, that seemed to be one thing we heard today, that there's usually not a state bond program, some kind of a grant funding mechanism for that particular kind of infrastructure, emergency services, which seemed odd.
Yeah, I was surprised.
You'd think that would be every bit as a higher priority as water bonds but we'll just have to see where we go with that. But we made the contact, had a wonderful meeting today. Any other closing board comments?
I'm going to remind everybody about the tree lighting on the 8th and the parade on the 9th.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And the 9th is following that.
That's a special day in this community.
Oh, yeah.
It really, really is. And it's kind of hard to believe, except that it's gotten chilly at night this last week. Fall is here. Almost time for the winter blanket, not quite. But
so if you're interested in entering the parade, just go to the Chamber of Commerce website, Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber, and there's the forms on there and all that information about entering, being a sponsor, all that kind of stuff.
Good. Yeah, we look forward to a good one, because we missed out last year.
Yeah.
Okay, and with that, we will adjourn.